This is the RCI Midday News Edition with me, Keisha St. Helen, for today, 15th April 2025. To start today's broadcast, a tragic road accident on Sunday afternoon has claimed the life of 68-year-old Nigel Elibox, better known as Redman of Mark Castries. The fatal crash occurred at Varner Castries on April 13th. According to eyewitness accounts, Elibox's vehicle veered off a precipice. He succumbed to injuries sustained during the incident. One other passenger was in the vehicle at the time of the crash. That individual survived and is currently receiving treatment at a medical facility. An eyewitness described the scene that followed the accident.
I stayed in my room and I heard my daughter shouting, "Oh my God, oh my God." And I came out. When I came out, I saw they walking across the road. So I asked her, "What happened?" She tell me, "A vehicle went down the precipice." So I tell her, "Who?" She tell me, "She think is Redman." So we walk across the road. When we reached there, we saw the vehicle was in the precipice with two passengers, a guy I know very well also. They were down at the precipice. My son went down. He went and checked on them. My neighbor went, but the driver was out of the vehicle. He was lying on the ground. So they stayed there. They started phoning him. But he was still breathing at that time. So they try and phone him, you know, for him to understand himself. But apparently, I don't know what happened. He didn't make it.
That was Varna resident recounting what she saw in the aftermath of Sunday's crash. James Elibox, the deceased brother, revealed that Nigel had underlying medical conditions which may have played a role in the accident.
He had sugar, and I think sometimes he had a little heart attack trouble in him. I don't know if he had sleepy fall, I know. I'm not too sure. Because when I reached there, they had already left with him. I didn't know that was so bad. I just thought it was a little accident. But when I reached it, to me, he wasn't talking, and then that is it.
That was James Elibox speaking about his late brother. Meanwhile, Varna resident Mark Edmund says the area has seen similar incidents in the past and is calling for improved road safety measures to prevent future tragedies. St. Lucia has to date recorded 15 road fatalities. In more news, Tourism Minister Dr. Ernest Hillier is calling for a more inclusive approach to tourism development in St. Lucia. Speaking at a pre-cabinet press briefing on Monday, Dr. Hillier stressed that the wealth generated by the tourism sector must benefit everyday St. Lucians more directly. His remarks follow new data revealing that visitor expenditure in 2023 reached an impressive $3.5 billion Eastern Caribbean dollars. Dr. Hillier says it's time for more St. Lucians to feel the impact of the country's thriving tourism industry, not just through job creation, but through greater ownership, investment opportunities, and local participation.
When you've done the calculations, the total value of visitor arrivals in terms of visitor expenditure is $3.5 billion EC dollars. And one of the challenges for us as a society is how do we get more of that money to actually be spent in St. Lucia? Now, you calculate the money based on the cost of accommodation, the number of nights that were spent, the average daily spend, whatnot. And $3.5 billion is a significant amount. So the government has resolved to continue the thrust to ensure that we get more of the money to actually be spent in St. Lucia and to actually go into the pockets of St. Lucians.
The tourism minister also took the time to commend the successful hosting of the 2025 Jimmy's Awards, the tourism sector's premier recognition event. Speaking following the ceremony, Dr. Hillier extended his gratitude to the stakeholders involved in organizing the fourth edition of the awards, including the St. Lucia Tourism Authority and the St. Lucia Hospitality and Tourism Association. He noted that the event not only highlights excellence within the industry, but also reinforces the importance of recognizing those who contribute to the island's growing tourism success.
On behalf of the Ministry of Tourism, on behalf of the Central Tourism Authority, and the Central Hospitality and Tourism Association, our sincere thanks to everyone that supported the Jimmys. On Saturday night, I think we had a very successful hosting of the third annual Jimmy's. And the Jimmy's was created for us as you know, the industry partners to recognize the excellence of our hospitalitarians, the persons who really go out of their way to ensure that we deliver. And of course, we've seen from the numbers that St. Lucia had over last year, which was a record-breaking year, that St. Lucians, our people, you know, are the cornerstone of that success.
That was Tourism and Investment Minister Dr. Ernest Hilaire. In other news, vulnerable children in St. Lucia now have enhanced access to educational support thanks to the opening of a newly renovated learning resource center at the New Beginnings Transit Home for Children. The details in this report.
Vulnerable children in St. Lucia now have enhanced access to educational support thanks to the opening of a newly renovated learning resource center at the New Beginnings Transit Home for Children. The modernized facility represents a significant achievement under the safety nets for vulnerable populations affected by the coronavirus project, funded by the Caribbean Development Bank for the Inter-American Development Bank. The project, designed to protect and empower the most at-risk groups across St. Lucia, has culminated in the transformation of the Learning Resource Center into a safe, technology-enabled and inclusive space dedicated to supporting the educational development of children in transitional care.
This center is a clear and powerful message for the youth who pass through New Beginnings Transit Home. They matter, and their future matter as well. We express our sincere gratitude to our partners at the Caribbean Development Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank. Your commitment to human-centered development is helping us turn intent into actual impact.
The opening ceremony, held on-site at the New Beginnings Transit Home, brought together representatives of the IDB and the CDB, as well as implementing agencies, contractors, and members of the local community. The event featured cultural presentations, stakeholder remarks, and a symbolic ribbon cutting that underscored the shared commitment to child development and inclusive progress. Egbert Ellis, Senior Operations Officer at the Caribbean Development Bank, described the project as a long-term investment in St. Lucia's human capital.
The resource center is equipped with modern computers, reliable internet, and a safe space for study and learning. It will offer students at the transit home an opportunity to access and utilize information technology and digital assets to enhance their development prospects. More importantly, it is a place where dreams of at-risk residents and students can be nurtured and where potential can be unlocked.
Michael Hall, Senior Sector Specialist at the Inter-American Development Bank, praised the spirit of partnership that drove the project forward.
At the IDB, now more than ever, our goal is to finance initiatives that deliver more effective results for the communities that are meant to benefit. This is the essence of our mission to improve lives.
The upgraded facility now offers structural improvements to ensure safety and accessibility. New furniture and educational equipment, digital tools and IT infrastructure to support modern learning, and a warm, child-friendly atmosphere conducive to academic growth and well-being. The LRC will function as a virtual hub for academic support, digital literacy and training, and personal development, all helping to bridge the learning gap for children in state care. This renovation is one of the final interventions under the CDB-funded Safety Nets for Vulnerable Populations project, which has bolstered St. Lucia's social safety net in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Learning Resource Center now stands as a lasting legacy of the project's focus on inclusion, resilience, and long-term impact.
Beautiful thing about it, Jen, is that we have not stopped. And it's almost like you're running a relay and somebody's taking it from where you leave it and carrying it on. And the hope to me is what's crystallized the presence of all of you here, that we have hope in continuing and caring for the people who mean so much to us. And even if one of us are not here, based on what is happening there this morning, we know it will continue. So I really want to thank all of the partners who are here, CDB, you know, for being with us for such a long time, for the Basic Needs Trust Fund program, the IDB, who has funded so many of our programs, for the many persons who have contributed one way or the other to the residents that we have here.
The Ministry of Equity, Social Justice and Empowerment, which has oversight for the Transit Home, extends appreciation to the Caribbean Development Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank for their unwavering support. Recognition also went to TRIMS Construction, Supervising Consultant May Sinclair, and the dedicated project team and the committed staff at the New Beginnings Transit Home, whose efforts helped to bring this initiative to fruition.
Finally, on the broadcast, work is progressing steadily on Wasco's Perseus Water Supply Redevelopment Project, a critical upgrade that will significantly enhance water availability for the communities within and around Monrepo. The project aims to modernize the existing treatment and distribution system, which has over time become less able to meet increasing demand. Community engagement has been a key part of the process as Wasco works closely with all stakeholders to ensure that this vital initiative is tailored to the specific needs of the Miku North region. We hear more in this report.
As construction progresses, Wasco has engaged project-affiliated residents through a community outreach initiative to raise awareness about the commencement of the Perseus Water Supply Redevelopment Project and to provide a platform for residents to voice their concerns. Maurice Norville, head of the project management unit, offered valuable insights into the project scope, emphasizing Wasco's ongoing efforts to implement practical solutions that address the community's water challenges.
Wasco is aware that the communities of Monrepo, Perseus, and its environs have been plagued with significant challenges as it relates to a safe and reliable water supply. So the Perseus Water Supply Redevelopment Project aims to rectify those issues and provide the communities with a better and more consistent supply of water.
Despite the delayed commencement of the construction phase, Norville asserts that the project is now on track. It follows a structured schedule aimed at ensuring overall system reliability. With the project expected to be completed within 7 months, residents of Miku North can look forward to a safer and more reliable water supply by the year's end.
So we had the turn-in ceremony for the project last year, and we're having this community meeting to mark the imminent commencement of the construction works. So yes, it's taken a year, but over the course of that year, the designs were undertaken for the entire project, and also the procurement processes for the various contracts under this project. So the contractors have been selected, and work will commence.
To address challenges within its existing infrastructure, particularly difficulties in managing turbidity during heavy rainfall events, Wasco is implementing these targeted upgrades to ensure the improvement of its treatment capacity. This initiative focuses on the strengthening of operational efficiency and represents a significant step towards enhancing the lives and the livelihoods of the people of Monrepo and environs.
Upon completion of the project, the residents can look forward to a better quality water supply, a more consistent and reliable water supply as well. Currently, using the current infrastructure, we have a lot of challenges, especially when there is heavy rainfall, because the raw water quality is not as good and the current treatment facilities cannot manage these challenges. But with the implementation of the new project, we are looking to address these challenges. So the issues which we are currently being plagued with are going to be a thing of the past, and the residents can look forward to a consistent, reliable, better quality water supply.
These essential upgrades, Wasco is paving the way for a stronger, more sustainable water supply in the Miku North region. This initiative aligns with Wasco's broader mission to strengthen water infrastructure, enhance climate resilience, and promote long-term sustainability for communities throughout St. Lucia.
And that is Tuesday's broadcast. We look back at the headlines. Vana crash claims life of 68-year-old Mark resident. Hile urges greater local benefit from St. Lucia's $3.5 billion tourism industry and empowering young minds. Learning Center opens at Transit Home for Children. You have been tuned into the RCI Midday News Edition with me, Keisha St. Helen, for today, 15th April 2025. Have a good afternoon.